I'm going to read you what I wrote, save time, and then we'll jump into it. We have an election in a few days. I know that's news, but I can't fix it. And we will soon have 45% or so of our country terribly upset and 50% of our citizens delighted because they won. So about half the people are going to think that life as they know it has come to an end. And about half the people are going to say, nah, nanny, boo-boo. That's what, you know what I mean? You're going to rub people's noses, and that seems to be how it works. But what about us? What about believers in Jesus? How should we respond to a huge national issue? And you notice in the title I put a post-election prophetic response. We're still pre-election, but in a few days we won't be, and we need to know how we should respond. This week in our pastor's prayer gathering, we prayed about confronting fear, about responding to the fallen condition of our culture, and we also looked at how Habakkuk handled the end of the world as he knew it, and when John the Baptist was in prison, and he was wondering about how that could be in God's plan for his future. I know some of you are thinking, well, so-and-so can't win because I've got, that won't work. That's going to ruin my life, right? I mean, I've heard that over and over and over again, and I quite believe it. But what do we do if things don't turn out the way we're supposed to? Well, imagine John the Baptist, who Jesus said, this is the greatest guy that's ever lived up till now. I mean, that's what he said. So, but we're going to let him get his head cut off, which is what happened. Now, he didn't say that, but that is what happened. So John's in jail. How could he possibly feel like God's promises and stuff were coming true? Because he's in jail. And you have to recognize, I wish I had time to go there, but you know when this happened in sequence? Jesus had just raised somebody from the dead. The widow of Nain, her son gets raised from the dead, messes up the whole funeral. I mean, it really did. And he's alive and is given back to his mother. And some of John's disciples see it and they go and tell John what happened. And you know he's thinking, I should have been in on that. The way I have life planned and the future predicted doesn't fit with me being behind these bars. And he sends his guys to Jesus and says, are you sure you're it? Because I kind of thought I was it. And now I'm like nothing. You know, how's this fitting? How can this be? And some of you are sure you know what's going to happen, and the ones that agree with me, I hope you're right, you know. But what if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to turn out? Because this is a national thing. Lots of people are going to be facing very similar scenarios to the ones I just talked about. And we should be able to be first responders, responding first in the right way. So we're not going to look at any of those today. We're going to look at Isaiah to figure out and find out what might be a good, strong biblical response to things not going the way that we plan for them to go. Because for half of us, it's not going to go the right way, right? Isaiah 44, verse 1. But now listen, Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. So I want to tell you, this is what the Lord says, because the Lord says, this is what the Lord says. Got it? This is what the Lord says. He who made you, formed you from the womb, will help you. So he's going to help you. He doesn't say, see, it's not about the ballot, it's about the blood. And so it doesn't matter if you're Biden time or you think you're playing a Trump card. I've waited like a month. Come on, give me a break. It doesn't matter. You still have to have the right response. And he said, I made you. I formed you from the womb. I will help you. Do not fear. Do not fear. Am I afraid of the way things might turn out if the election goes bad? Yes, but that's been true. That's been an every 4-year thing for a long time. Do not fear. Jacob, my servant, and Jeshurun, which is a pet name for Israel, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground, that's meeting physical needs, and I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Amen. So it's a spiritual blessing going to happen too, and it's transgenerational. It's one of the few trans things you can say from the pulpit anymore, but transgenerational is good and real. And they will spring up among the grass like poplars by the streams of water. This one will say, I am the Lord's. What's the right response, regardless of who wins? The right response is to say, I am the Lord's. We are the Lord's. That's the right response. And That one will call on the name of Jacob, and another one will write on his hand, I belong to the Lord. I don't know about you, but in my early days, I needed to have that stamped on every member of my body because I was so used to doing things that were ungodly that I, shouldn't do that. You know, I have a friend that has a tattoo on her foot, and it just says, stop. I thought that's the smartest thing I ever saw in my life. I'm about to take that step the wrong way. Stop, got it. So I said, you got to wear sandals all your whole life, even in the winter, because you got to be able to see it. But stop. And that's what he said. I'm going to write on my hands, I belong to the Lord. This is how sure I am about this. And I want everyone to know, especially me, that I am the Lord's, belonging to the Lord. And he will give himself Israel's name with honor. So this is what the Lord says. He who is the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of armies, the Lord of the armies. So he's saying this, and the armies of the Lord are hearing it. I'm the first, I'm the last. There's no God besides me. Who is like me? Nobody. Let him proclaim and declare it, and let him confront me. Beginning with my establishing of the ancient nation, let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Because God's already prophesied these things. Don't tremble. Don't be afraid. Have I not long since denounced it to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me or any other rock? I know of none. That's where your trust is. That's where your identification is. That's where your hope and faith need to be. So he says, I made you. I chose you. I'll help you. I'm going to give you physical help. I'm going to give you spiritual help. And here's your response. You say, I am the Lord's. You declare it. If you have to, write it on your hands. You declare it. He's the first. He's the last. He's the rock. There isn't any other. And we need to know that that is who he is. Call on the name of the Lord. And that's what they're doing. And listen, I belong. Right here, you can see it. I belong. I am the Lord's. He says, call on the name of the Lord. I don't know if you ever saw this before, but I'm going to show this to you real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is David and Goliath, so I know you've heard this story. Verses 45 through 47. David says to Goliath, to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. So he's got all the physical weapons. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted, and this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. He fought with the weapons that win. He used the name of the Lord. So who should be on your ballot? The name of the Lord. Where's your trust? The name of the Lord. What's your future tied up into? The name of the Lord. But I don't know how we'll make it if we have this. If this party wins and this party loses and we have this daunting enemy, you use the name of the Lord. That's what he did, right? He had a slingshot, the name of the Lord and a slingshot. And that turned out to be the bomb. That turned out to be the deal. And he defeated the enemy in the name of the Lord. I'm thinking angel armies were involved because he's specifically revealing himself as the God of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies. And so heaven's armies aren't loyal to any political party. They're loyal to him and to us. And to us. Isn't that cool? So what response do we have? We use the name of the Lord. David was able to overcome unbelievable odds because he came in the name of the Lord, regardless of his circumstances. Here's what I put on your outline. We are his and he is ours. We're bought with a price. We will tell ourselves this truth. We will carry it in our hearts. We'll say it with our mouth. We'll write it on our hands. We belong to the Lord. Now, he makes this declaration in Isaiah 44, and you think, man, they've got it now. Israel's really cooking. You go five chapters down, which is not a great long period of time, and we read these verses. This is Isaiah 49, verses 14 through 17. But Zion, Israel, said, the Lord has forsaken me. No. He just said, I'm for you. I chose you. I made you. Right? He says, no, the Lord's forsaken me. Why? Because my guy didn't get elected, or because I didn't get the job, or because, you know? whatever. The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Now, time out. But have you ever been in one of those periods of time where you know that's not true, but man, it feels like that's true, right? And you know it's not real, but it's real in the moment. You know, it's the shadow is on you. And he says, I really feel like he's just overlooked me or looked over me. You know, like, I know he can't forget, but it feels like he did. And the Lord says, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. You know when that's really important? When you feel forgotten. I will not forget you. And then he says, behold, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. So in Isaiah 5 chapters earlier, they're so turned on about belonging to the Lord, they're writing that. I am the Lord's. And the Lord's saying, I've already got you inscribed, tattooed, stamped on my hands, right where I can see them. Not somewhere in a journal I have to go dig up, but on my hands. This is the same language as when they made the ephod for the priest to be able to go into the tabernacle, and they take the names of the tribes of Israel and inscribes six on one stone and six on the other stone, and they put it here so they'd be close to the heart of the priest. So he's representing every single human being that's part of the nation of Israel, that's part of God's people, and he sees them there all the time. It's the same language, and God says, I've got stuff on you before me all the time. All the time. So how could I forget you? I'm constantly here rehearsing how I feel about you because I'm looking at your name all the time. Anybody have a picture on your dresser or refrigerator or something like that, and you go by there and see that person, and you know, you stop and say thanks, or you smile, or maybe you pray for them or something like that, because you don't want to forget. And the fact is, I've been in some people's houses, they got them everywhere. Especially if they have someone in the service or something and they're overseas and their pictures are everywhere, you know. Listen, you're in the Lord's army. You're in service all the time. He's got it. He knows what you're doing. He's the one that enlisted you. And he knows what you're called to. And he knows what you're called for. He even knows what other people call you. He says, behold, I've inscribed you in the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. In other words, he's talking to Israel. Well, the walls were always being torn down. They had to be rebuilt. He's aware of the condition of the people of God. He says, your walls are before me all the time. And I love this line. In fact, I've had this prophesied to me a couple of times. It just tingles me every time I read it. He says, your builders hurry. What does that mean? Your builders hurry. Well, builders and sons are homonyms in the Hebrew language. So what he's saying, your sons, your builders, the next generation, the ones that are going to build this thing up, the ones that are going to help you replace what the enemy has taken and torn down, your builders are hurrying. I'm sending them. Your builders, your sons, your grandsons, your daughters, your granddaughters. He says, your builders hurry. Your destroyers and devastators will depart from you. You should underline that in your Bible. Your destroyers and your devastators will depart from you. Trust in the Lord. Submit yourself to the Lord. Resist the enemy. He'll flee. He's saying, I know there's been a time here, captivity and all this kind of stuff, and I know the walls have been torn down, the gates have been burned. I'm telling you, I got plans. I'm sending. Your builders are coming. Those who really can build, and those who are your sons, your daughters, those who are this other generation, some of those who have departed and aren't with you, they're coming. And they're going to get rid of the destruction that the devastators and the destroyers have done. Just think about it for a minute. How many times as a human being, have you opened up your life and just out of stupidity sometimes or out of deception, and you let the destroyers come in and mess with you, and they weaken the walls around your heart. They weaken the walls of your belief and your faith, and you wake up and go, what have I allowed to have happen here? And that happens to people, that happens to families, it happens to churches, it happens to nations. And the Lord says, I haven't forgotten you. I have not forgotten you. I'm looking at it right here. I know the condition of the wall. Some of it is what I had to let happen because of the choices you made. But some of it is, I'm ready to fix that. Let's go. Let's go. And your builders, hurry and rush. You ever see something being built once they get the basement poured? All of a sudden you got timber showing up and shingles showing up. I mean, there's all sorts of things. It's just like a beehive. Why? Because we're going to build this thing. And that's what the Lord is saying. Your builders, hurry. It's like I signed the contract. It's already been paid for. It's coming. And that's what he's telling these guys. I know you feel forgotten. Part of the reason you feel forgotten and alone is because some of those who you need to be with you aren't with you. How many people have a family member or a really close friend that's walked away from the Lord? How many of you have them that really never got settled with the Lord in the first place? Yeah. You know what? That's the people he's speaking to. That's what he's saying. It says in the Passion, same chapter, 49, 14 through 17 of Isaiah, he says, you know, Lord's forgotten me. I'm all alone. And the Lord says, I could never, ever forget you. Can't you see? I've carved your name on the palms of my hands. Your walls are always my concern. Your children, your builders, are running back to you as those who ruined and destroyed you are running away. Isn't that cool? I love the way he says that. Lift up your head and look around. See all your children, your builders, gather to come back to you. As surely as I live, I make this promise. This is so good. We're going to pray in a minute, but if you got people you're praying for like this, this is a wonderful way to pray. As surely as I live, I make this promise, says Yahweh. You will wear them like jewels as a radiant bride wears beautiful jewelry. You're going to have those children, those grandchildren, those friends, those family members, those people who were in the spiritual family who walked away and still need to come back, and people who need to turn or return to the Lord, and you're going to wear them like jewelry. They're going to accentuate what you already got on. You're going to be styling in the spirit is what I'm trying to say. You're going to be gathered around and gathered to by those who beautify the situation, who make everything look whole because they belong. Am I making any sense? You've seen somebody walk in the room and they look pretty nice, and then they go to their bedroom and they come back and they've got a bracelet on and a pin on and earrings on and a necklace on. They're going, wow. Why? Because everything fits and accents and draws your attention, and now it's beautifying. That's what he does when he adds the things back that have been taken away, or adds the things that never found their way to get added. And he said, look around, look up, lift your head. Don't get all caught up in the political thing. It's not unimportant, it's just not most important. So what's most important? I belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. And you know what? If I got to write it on my hands to remind myself, then go ahead. I've done things. I've pasted things to my car, the dashboard, things that I know the Lord wanted me to pray about, or people, and I just cut a picture out and put it on there. And if that one got ruined, I put another one up there because he told me, pray for that. And I'm stupid. If I don't put it in front of myself, I might not do it. So we have to tell ourselves, this is true, and this is true, and I disagree with this, and I can't possibly believe that, Supreme Court would make this decision, or they pass this. Listen, I'm the Lord's. Yes. I'm the Lord's. I belong to him. He belongs to me. That's what it says. And he called me, he chose me, he made me, he formed me. He said, I'm going to take care of spiritual stuff. I'm going to take care of the natural stuff. Listen, pay attention. Now, is it important about, should you go vote? Yes, not voting to me is a bad idea. We're supposed to be citizens of both kingdoms and need to do it. Well, what if the guy that I want to win doesn't win? Well, you're going to have about 46 or 47% of the population in the same misery that you're in. And guess what? You'll still be here 4 years from now. and have a chance to change it. All the people who said they were moving last time didn't move. They didn't. In fact, it's mostly rich people who could afford to do it, and they didn't do it. And things aren't so hot in Canada anyway, so, you know, I mean, which is where they said they were going to come. So what do we need to do? We need to be remarkably loyal citizens of the kingdom so we can be representative citizens of the country. We got no... If your guy doesn't get elected, guess what? The Bible says, pray for the guy that did. That was a hard one for me to swallow. That was a hard one for me to swallow. Because most of the time, I did better not mentioning that person's name because I would get upset. But what does the book say? Pray for your leaders. Doesn't it? Isn't that what it says? That would be our responsibility. And so it'd be sin on our part not to do it. Right? Now, I got to tell you, I didn't do a lot of crying. when the person won that I didn't want to win, I didn't do a lot of crying or weeping over them. But we did pray for them. Because that's what the scripture says to do. Well, why would you do that? Because I belong to him. And it's more important what he says than what we think. Your builders hurry. Remember, we're going to stop here. But I want you to see this. Your builders hurry. Your sons, it says. Your sons, your daughter, your children, your builders gather to come back to you. As surely as I live, I make this promise, you'll wear them like jewels. I think that's awesome. Isaiah 43. This is a way to pray. Because what's all this talk about builders and children and people returning? It's because they were in captivity. They were under a bondage. They were under spiritual and political captivity. And everybody feels that way. They're just not sure who the captors are, you know. But Israel was actually in that situation. And this is the language the Lord is speaking to them in. And I love this. I wish I had my pipes on me this morning. Because my friend, your friend too, many of you, Tim Doyle wrote a song from these verses. I've been singing it for 35 years. Now, this is what the Lord says. So he's really making it clear. He who is your creator, don't fear, I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. So it doesn't matter, really matter, which way it goes. I'm in it all the way. I'd rather you didn't have to get scorched. I'd rather you didn't get threatened to be drowned. But I'm in there. I can take care of it. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Since you are precious in my sight, and since you are honored, and I love you. Isaiah 43:4 is a verse I've had to chew on and chew on and chew on. Because I thought it was a misprint the first time I wrote it. I read it. Since you are honored, and I love you. I say, no, Lord, you're the honored one. I honored you. Are you reading this with me? I mean, are you hearing what I'm saying? He says, since you're precious in my sight, since you are honored, and I love you. He's saying this to the people of God. I honor you. Whew. Next time you feel depressed, you got to chew on that one. You got to say, but God, why would God honor me? Well, because he's very honoring, for one thing. But because of Jesus in you, of course. He has reason. And you can't let yourself feel too dishonored. Let the enemy tell you that how dishonorable you are. If you sin, you got to confess it and deal with it. But I'm telling you, just walking down the street, he says, I honor you. You're precious in my sight. I honor you and I love you. Wow. So what's he not going to do for those that he honors and says are precious to him and that he loves? So this is the deal. This to me is the verse that goes with your builder's hurry from Isaiah. He says in verse 5, don't fear, I'm with you. I will bring your offspring from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. I will say to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. Call them back. Bring them back. Give them up. Those who are in captivity. To whatever they're in captivity. I think people are in captivity to vain philosophies and stuff like it says in the book of Colossians. People believe in the darndest things. They're held captive to it. They can't get their brain around the truth, so they've jettisoned the truth. And they believe all sorts of things, or quit believing anything. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And he says, we can say, give them up! Speak to the north, the east, the south, and the west, and it doesn't matter. In my earlier days when I said, those, you know what you would say, to the east, give them up. I was talking about Eastern meditation and Eastern religions and stuff that had captivated lots of Christians. I mean, and when you say give them up to the west, the west coast has produced all sorts of crazy things for people. That's not what he was talking about, because there wasn't any United States when this was written. But those influences, people who are scattered, and of course here they were geographically scattered because Israel had been sent, you know, to Babylon and all sorts of stuff. But the scatteredness is something the enemy does, and the gathering is what the Lord does. And it's, I think it's our responsibility to bring them in. I mean, I've had people ask me, can a person of this political party be a Christian? Ask me a question. I said, yeah, maybe the hard way, but yeah. You know, of course they can. And I thought, oh, it hurts my brain that you would think that way. Because they're a human being, somebody that Jesus created. And so can they be redeemed? Of course. Be good if they acted like it. You know, right? I thought, oh my gosh, see, we have to let people back from those camps in if we've cordoned them out. Am I making sense? So I'm thinking about real live people now, like children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters. Wouldn't it be good as a result of us claiming that we belong to the Lord and knowing that he belongs to us, that we would call people back and we would see our builders hurry? Yes. Wouldn't it be awesome to be flooded with people who need to turn to the Lord for the first time? And then built up with people who've needed to return to him for a long time. Oh, man. Scott had Wes lead that song for us about Banner Over Us is Love. There's a lot of people that haven't sung that song in a very long time that need to return to the Lord because they used to sing it. Are you with me? So what do? I think our response is to say, I belong to the Lord. He chose me. He made me. He formed me. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'll never forget you. I haven't forgotten you. I am not forgetting you now. I won't forget you tomorrow. Your condition is before my eyes. I see your walls. I know how good or bad the condition of the walls are. That's more of a corporate speaking. But he knows that that's true. And what does he do then? He said, well, too bad. Sorry, guys. See you in heaven. That's not what he does. He said, no, your builders hurry. The Lord of the armies of heaven says, oh, I got resources. You know, I can do things. Let's do them together. Let's do them together. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. And we just want to say thank you that we belong to you. And, Lord, you see all of the things, all of the things socially, geographically, politically, that divide us. And we just, Lord, what we want to do is say, no, wait a minute. I mean, if I have to, I'm going to say it with my mouth, I'm going to hold it in my heart, but if I need to, I'll write it on my hands. I belong to you. And you have plan and purpose for each of us. And we need each other to do them. So, Lord, today, we pray about there's an election coming on Tuesday. And, Lord, we just put that in your hands. You're way, way beyond wise enough to handle all of this. And Lord, we choose to do our part and vote, and we leave the results in your hands. But Lord, I love what we have been talking about, what Tony Evans said. Read the platform of both parties, read your Bible, and vote the Bible. I just think that's marvelous. And Lord, I pray that by righteousness and justice, the foundation of your throne, this election would be governed and taken care of. But Lord, we want to spend just a moment praying for people that we know who used to walk with you and don't. We want to pray for family members who used to walk with you and don't. And we say to the north, give them up. To the south, do not hold them back. To the east and the west, to anything that's holding them, be released, be freed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them be awakened to the fact that your hands have their names on it. On them. And Lord, I pray they would be awakened and say, oh, what am I doing? I belong to the Lord. And they would run towards you. Some of them might even run towards us. We would welcome that opportunity. And then, Lord, we pray for people, family members who have never given their heart to you. And today, Lord, we say, release those angel armies to help bring conviction to their life. Draw them, Lord. The Bible says that people can't come unless they're drawn. We ask for drawing power of the Holy Spirit and angel armies so that people who never thought they would come to an awakening and said, oh, it's Jesus that I need. And Lord, we pray that we get past all this COVID stuff. We want to baptize hundreds of them right up there. And Lord, please give us the privilege of doing that. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us today. And thank you for the fact that we know who really is the one who holds the whole universe together by his word of power. And we want to entrust our hearts, our lives, our families, and our country to the one with that power. In Jesus' name, amen.